to see everyone in Sunday school this morning. And preacher wouldn't let his mother-in-law preach last week, so I took her message. I'm going to use it this morning, and hopefully he'll listen later. Amen? No. It's good to see everyone in church this morning. And that's for later. So let me get to a Sunday school lesson. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to Ephesians and chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I felt this appropriate because I know we have some faithful people here in this church and faithful in many different ways. And we know as Christians and children of God the importance of prayer, our prayer life. And so I don't want to really spend a whole lot of time on how we need to be praying, because we know we need to, and there's always room for improvement in that area. But I want to give you some kind of an outline this morning, just try to help you be a blessing in intercessory prayer. Amen? Everybody knows what intercessory prayer is, praying for someone else. You know, we're supposed to be pretty unselfish in our prayer life. Yes, we are supposed to ask for all of our needs, but one of the greatest things that Moses ever did in leading the children of Israel was to intercede and stand in the gap between God and the children of Israel and plead for them. And God changed his mind many times and withheld his wrath from the children of Israel because of Moses' wonderful prayer life. And there's an outline in this chapter. We are going to read the whole chapter. But towards the end, we'll see an outline of how we can very specifically pray for others. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote for in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power." Amen. What a sentence, right? Y'all paying attention to your punctuation there? Verse number 1 all the way through 7 is one sentence. Good use of parentheses and semicolons and all kinds of good stuff in there. And if you read your Bible that way, it'll help you keep everything in context. And Paul was very good about run-ons. Amen. And I think he was pretty grammatically correct because the Holy Spirit built it that way. But he can go on and build a sentence. Amen. Let's look at verse number 8 now. New sentence. "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith, by the faith of him." There's another sentence done now. And he puts us in the context now of prayer right there in verse number 12, starts talking about our access to God. Amen? Okay, look at verse number 13 now. "Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with his might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, and that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for our church. We thank you for allowing us to be here this morning to study your word. And I pray that you'd help us with this outline that you've put into your word. Lord, it was preached to me many years ago, and it's been a great blessing and a help to me. And I pray that you'd use it again this morning. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. Please fill me with your spirit as I teach. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We know those verses, verse number 20 and 21, don't we? Yeah. We quote them all the time, or parts of it, and maybe butcher it a lot of times, but we know what they say. But we don't many times understand the context or remember the context of those two verses. Now unto him that is God, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. What is the context of this verse number 20? It's power working through us and intercessory prayer on behalf of someone else to see God move and do something for them in their life. You see, many times we don't understand, we don't believe God's power is able to work in our life because we haven't prayed for someone else and watched God answer that prayer for them and work in their life. Yeah, it's one thing to ask God to do something for us, and that's a good thing. And God answers those prayers, and God moves in that way, and He does use those things to build our life. But when you pray for a missionary who's halfway across the world, and you've been praying for Ben and Lindsay Smith and their pregnancy and the things going on over there during that time in Africa and through this pregnancy, and you know there's complications and there's things going on, and you've been praying for God's hand to be in that thing, and then without any of our knowledge, she's rushed to a hospital for an emergency C-section, and God has had His hand all over that thing, and you see God move in their life and protect the mama's life and the baby's life and all the things in a foreign country. She had to have, what, 2 units of blood now, and things are getting better, and you're thinking, man, they're in Uganda, how is it? But God has protected their life. And if you've been faithful to pray in that area, you understand God is working in that life and answering your prayer on behalf of them. On the other side of the planet, how big is our God? Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You know, we don't even know what to pray for so many times. But we pray, and God knows how to answer that. God knows what's going to happen, and He knows how to move according to His will and what we're praying on behalf of another. And Paul here in verse 14 says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He is praying. And then he says in verse 16, he starts his outline of this prayer. Now, this is very interesting because many people call, what we call commonly call the Lord's Prayer. That's not the Lord's Prayer. It was the model prayer, right? We're supposed to use it as an outline and how we're to approach God in that boldness and pray for some specific things there. It's an outline. We know the Lord's Prayer was there in the garden for us. In the book of John, we find that prayer. But this right here is another model prayer. And so many times, we'll pray for a missionary. We'll pray for our pastor. We'll pray for another family in the church. We'll pray for our children. We'll pray. But we just throw out their name and we're just hoping God does something. Amen? But God wants us to pray specifically. Paul knew how to pray specifically. And he gives us this outline here in the next few verses of how he prayed for this people to be helped. And so when you're praying for your pastor, when you're praying for a missionary, when you're praying for somebody in the church that has a need, when you're praying for your children, you're praying for folks in another country that you, or another state, somewhere else that you can't do physically anything about, you're praying for your lost family members. Here's an outline, 5-point outline that we can pray through and be very specific. Number one, the Bible says here in verse number 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit, capital S there, in the inner man. Wow, what a powerful, powerful prayer request right there. Can I tell you, when a missionary stands up here, when a pastor stands up here and says, please pray for us, this is exactly what he needs. We have no clue. I have just a taste. Even in all the missionaries that I deal with on a weekly basis of what they really experience, what they really go through, when their ministry can be just thriving and everything is going well. What a pastor may go through. I've been very close to pastors and working with them as second man and those kind of things. From the angle of finance office and, you know, just all kinds of things and all the things they have to deal with when the ministry seems to be thriving, but they're dealing with so much inside and in their hearts. You know what they need? They need the strength of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not just around their life, in their inner being. They need that. And you can apply this to a pastor's wife, a missionary's wife, missionary kids who are out there living on the mission field, growing up on the mission field, and having nobody to speak English with, and praise God for the resilience of kids, amen? Yeah. They can do a lot. They can go through a lot. And things that would just blow us out, they can handle. But they need our prayer. And it's not a physical strength. It's one that is a Holy Spirit power and strength that needs to come in to that inner man, to that inner being, into that heart to say, you know what? When you're facing all this already, and the next thing happens, it's not the last straw. And they're able to keep on going. You know, I got a beautiful and wonderful daughter back here. But as an 18-year-old, fresh, going out to Bible college, she's going to be facing some things in Bible college. And we've gone through some of that and tried to prepare as best we can for that. And she's been very faithful. And now I think she's ready. Amen. But there's going to be some times. And she's going to need some strength. So as I pray for her, boy, I need to be making use of this specific prayer points here to have God work in her life in very specific ways to help her get all the way through and to not quit. Number two this morning, how are we doing? Got about 30 minutes. Let's see, I'm always doing math. You know, we divide that by four, so that's 28 minutes. So that's 7 minutes a point. Okay, well, all right, we're doing okay. All right, amen. As long as the conclusion's not too long, we'll be all right. So number one, pray for them to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit of God to handle everything that the devil's going to throw their way, everything that God is going to lead them into, and to be able to do everything God has asked them to do. Hey, gentlemen, pray for your wives this way. Hey, ladies, pray for your husbands this way. Oh, I can't even begin to describe the things that are in this world now that attack our teenage boys and even our men in the church on a daily basis. You know what we need in order to fight those things? It is the strength of the Holy Spirit of God in our inner man to say no to some things and to turn away and to guard our hearts and to guard our eyes and to guard our ears. Oh, how we need to be specific in our prayers for others. Number two this morning, let's go to verse number 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Point number two here is that first phrase, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. You know, one of the specific things that Jesus Christ said that he prayed for the disciples, I've already prayed for you, that your faith fail not. Why? Because if my faith in God doesn't fail, then I know He's in me. I know He's not going to leave me or forsake me. I know He's there. And that'll lead me into the third point where we start talking about His great love for us. But we need to be praying for folks that Christ may dwell in their hearts by faith, but that not only that He's going to be there, but that that person has faith, a strong faith, to know that He is there. Because God doesn't leave us, does He? He's always there. The problem is, our faith fails. We forget He's there. We stop believing He's there. We wonder where He is, those kind of things, and the doubts come in. No. We're going to pray for somebody that their faith would be solid in God, that their faith would not fail, and that God is with them at all times, that Christ may dwell in their hearts by their faith, and that they would have knowledge is that. I know we've all been in places and times in our life where God just seems miles and miles away. Seems like maybe He went to another planet or something. Still got VBS on my mind, I guess. And you know, a very specific prayer request for an individual who just might be struggling with something and you just have no idea is to pray that not only they'll be strengthened by His Holy Spirit, but that they would have just a new a faith in His presence in their heart. What is one of the powers of the Holy Spirit? Why was He left? It wasn't just strength and power, it was also comfort. The Comforter has come. Oh my, how we forget sometimes that the Comforter dwells within us. And we need to be praying that for everyone we pray. Go through this. As you mentioned names, go through this list. Oh God, they need the strength of your Spirit. Oh, but Lord, they also need your comfort to know the presence of the Lord in their life. Pray that down for them. He'll show up. People will come to church. You will have prayed to them, and they'll have a testimony time, and they'll stand up, and I don't know what it was, but I finally broke out my Bible the other day, and I was really struggling, and God just gave me something special from His Word that morning. And you'll be like, oh, praise God. You moved in their life. I prayed for them. And what is that? I mean, it's only going to help you too. It's only going to help you too. Seeing God move somebody else's life. You say, well, maybe He moved and I don't find out. You know what? God has a way just allowing us to see that He moves and someone answers our prayers. Does God get any glory if we pray and pray and pray and we never see an answer? No, but when we see the answer, oh, praise God. He's okay with us seeing the answer to our prayer. You know what? Somehow that just kind of works out. Oh God, I pray for you to prepare the hearts of the people that you know I'm going to run in today as we go out soul winning. Oh man, yeah, we've been looking for a church. Yeah, we were just thinking about, all the time, right? Why? Because we prayed. It didn't have their name, but we prayed, and we prayed specifically. I don't know if that was 7 minutes or not. I'm not going to look. Strength, and then the comfort of His dwelling in their hearts. Verse number, let's read the rest of the verse of 17 again, there in the middle. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Of what? Context of His love, right? From the previous phrase there in the previous verse. Oh God. Would you just please help him? Help him to remember. Help Andrea to remember how much God loves her. Just help her to comprehend the love of God. Just give her a fresh vision of that. Help her to understand that it doesn't matter. And we can name many other names here this morning. Maybe I shouldn't have called her name out specifically, but you know what I'm talking about. People that just are away, maybe even further than her, and just don't know how to come back sometimes, you know, and they just need to be reminded and be able to re-comprehend and have the knowledge of that love again. Just comprehend that, you know what, God will still love them. Pray that. And that love reaches from the east to the west, all the way down to the deepest seas. Doesn't matter where they are. Doesn't matter what they've done. Sometimes it's just a struggling part of life. We all struggle. We get to places where it's really hard. But then you know what? You remember that God loves you. He cares for you. What does that love do? It provides. It protects. It helps. Sometimes that person just may need a reminder of that love. Verse number 19 now continues in that same path, if you will, and to know the love of Christ. We're going to talk about this some more in the message tonight. Tonight. I'm taking over, brother, this morning. This morning, the difference between comprehending, we have a comprehension of, we understand it, and then this word know. We don't have any children or any youth in here right now, so let's just throw out a definition. The word know in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, is always one word. And it's translated know so many different times and used in different contexts. And it's talking about this intimate relationship, so intimate that it says Adam knew his wife, Eve, and they produced offspring. Now, take away all the physical part of that relationship now and just think about the intimacy of a marriage. That's the knowing that we're talking about here. To know the love of God. This is a relationship. This is so close. This is way past just strength. This is way past just dwelling. This is way past just knowing the love is there. This is, I have a deep relationship with the love of God. And to know the love of God. What kind of love is it? Well, it passes all knowledge. See, we can pray for folks to be able to comprehend it, and that will definitely help them. But can we really ever comprehend the love of God? I mean, fully understand the love of God? No. I mean, how was it that an all-knowing God, knowing everything that He knows about the future, still created Adam? I mean, He still did it. He knows what's going on in the world today. He knew everything in the past. He knows everything in the future. He still created Adam. That's a lot of love. That's a deep and intimate desire to have a relationship with His creation. What love. What love. You know what we need to pray for other people? For them to know the love of Christ. We can pray this for lost people. We can pray this for backslidden people. We can pray this for servants of God. We can pray it for everybody. Because everyone needs a deeper relationship and with the love of God, a more intimate and closer relationship with the love of God. Why? Well, for personal strength and walking, learning, and growing, yes. But it's our job, and we've been left here, to let that same love flow through us to reach others. You see, I don't care what missionary is out there and how dynamic they are and how faithful they are at working and how many hours they spend away from their family concentrating on the ministry and how much power is on their life and how much they understand that God dwells with them and how much they understand what the love of God is all about and how big it is. But if they don't have a personal relationship with the love of Christ, they're not getting anything done. And the closer they get with God, and the more intimate they get with God, with that love, the more that love is going to... And then what? The more fruit. You see, you wouldn't give a dime for a pastor or any person standing behind this pulpit who was just speaking a bunch of words and didn't have their own relationship with God. We must have that. They must have that. And when it gets out of kilter, and this is getting into Wednesday night now, but when things get out of whack and everything else that we're doing for God trumps our relationship with God, it's broken. It's wrong. And people don't make it through 4 years of Bible college, or they make it all the way through and come out with a bad spirit, and God can't use them, and He's so far from them, it's worthless. All right. So we need to pray. Pray specifically. Pray for their inner man, their inner being, to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit of God. Pray that they'll understand and remember by faith that Christ dwells within them, that they can comprehend the huge capacity of God's love, and then to know it personally and intimately as they grow close to Him in their walk with Him. And then finally this morning, that you may be filled, verse number 19 in the middle there, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Does anybody else find it just amazing and just so difficult to comprehend that something as big as God could be inside of me, could be inside of you. See, he doesn't just hand out pieces of himself. No. He wants to fill us. You know what we're praying here? And we pray this all the time. Oh God, fill our pastor with your Holy Spirit. Fill him with all the fullness of God. All of it. And what we're praying is, God, not only do I want you to fill them, but help them to be empty of everything else so that they can accept and be filled with all the fullness of God. Because let me tell you, I don't care who you are and how long you've been in ministry or what you're doing for God and how much He's blessing it, distractions and things will come into your life and take up residence in your heart. And you will not have the capacity anymore to be filled with all the fullness of God. And 99.9% of the fullness of God should never be enough for us. Should never be satisfied with that. What peace in your heart, what little room, what little closet in your heart are you holding back from God this morning? No. Open it up. There's people out there praying for you, and we ought to be praying the same thing for them, that they are filled with all the fullness of God. Why? Because we need to be focused on what God's will is for our life. We need to be focused and trained in on that path, that straight and narrow way. It doesn't matter if it's the left ditch or the right ditch we fall off into. The devil doesn't care. He just wants us off that path. And what it comes down to is a distraction gets in there, and then we're not filled with all the fullness of God anymore. And we miss out on opportunities to make a difference for God. And let me tell you, missionaries, pastors, Sunday school teachers, bus drivers, music, song leaders, everybody, we all find ourselves in a position where we get distracted sometime, and all of a sudden, we're in a place where we're just not even able to accept all the fullness of God. See, it's one thing to be strengthened by Him. It's one thing to be encouraged by His presence. It's one thing to be encouraged by the knowledge of His love and then to grow close to Him. But what is that thing, that 0.01% thing that's getting in the way of now this fullness of God coming in? Dr. Smith, I haven't heard him say it in a long time, but he said this. And many other pastors, I think, have said it before. But the world has yet to see what God can do with a man that's fully given over to Him. It's true. Now, unfortunately, because of our nature, that may not ever happen. We have Jesus Christ as an example there, as someone who was fully given over to His God, to His Heavenly Father. And He did always those things which pleased Him. And He was very successful in His life. Amen. But let me tell you, the truth is, I don't care if you're Billy Sunday or any of these great missionaries we've heard stories about recently, even those folks were not fully given over to God. Can I tell you that same fullness is available to you and I? That same fullness is available to our pastor and every missionary on this wall. We ought to pray for him to have that desire. We ought to pray for the Holy Spirit of God to be just keeping them alert of the little things that can get in the way of their being all the fullness of God present and active in their life. Now remember, now that we have this outline of this prayer that Paul was praying for the Ephesians, look at verse 20 again with me in context. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Two things. Number one, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I know it's hard. I've witnessed to family members, and they are so cold-hearted and stone-hard about the gospel and to anything God and everything. But let me remind you that in the context of intercessory prayer, my God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Can I tell you, God can work in somebody's life? God will answer your prayer. Pray this outline. Is it not God's will to move in that person's life? Absolutely. Is God not long-suffering? They're still on the planet. Is God not merciful? Keep praying. And believe. I know there are a lot harder situations out there than even I know. But can I tell you, he's able. And when he does the work, it will be an answer to prayer. There's a man we used to know back in Texas. He used to pray ever so often in some of our prayer meetings. He would say, "Lord, I know it's not always your will to heal, but it usually is an answer to prayer." If nobody's praying, God's not working. When God does move in that other person's life, it'll be an answer to prayer. I hope it's your prayer. I hope you're a part of that. I hope you haven't given up. And then finally this morning, the last part of that verse, according to the power that worketh in us. And I kind of stepped on that already. It is our responsibility to pray for these people. It is our responsibility to pray for our missionaries specifically. It is our responsibility to pray for our pastor specifically and his family specifically. It is our responsibility to pray for each other specifically. Oh, yeah, that I saw that coming. That person was going the wrong direction. They blew out a church. And that, look, see, I knew that was going to happen. I could have told you that. Were you praying? Did you have enough concern for that person? We have a loving church, okay? I'm not getting on to anybody. I'm just saying, this kind of stuff, and we've heard people talk like that. Yeah. I've heard it. Yeah. And it's like, what is wrong? You're not concerned about that person? You're not concerned about the end of that road that they just put themselves on? And that could have been probably prevented because it didn't happen overnight, did it? No. Something goes on. We see, I see a little countenance issue there. You pray for your youth. Boy, it's all over. I mean, you can just see it. You know, and they're having a good day, walking in the Spirit, and when they're not. I mean, it's just so... And they'll argue with you till they're blue in the face, but they can't hide it. And we think we're hiding it too, and we've gotten real good at it, but the truth is, no, it comes out. Yeah. Tone of speech, things we let slip out of our mouth, yeah. Lack of attendance, whatever it is. you get in this place where you're just kind of away from God a little bit, and you just don't know how to, you know, can't really put your finger on what's wrong with your relationship with God, and you just kind of don't want to try either, and you just kind of, don't you hope somebody's praying for you? Be strengthened in your inner being. To just have that fresh presence of God in your life. To remember that, you know, even as broken and as messed up and as I am, that it's okay. God still loves me. And that I can get back up and I can get even closer to Him now in my relationship with His love. And then still have an opportunity again to be filled with all the fullness of God and be used in a great mighty way, with even with all my past. That's how we need to pray for others. Boy, I think we can't do everything. We can't make people's decisions for themselves. But I wonder, when somebody blows out and goes the wrong direction and they're just stuck way out there, I wonder how many people were praying before that happened. Let's be a church of prayer. Specific prayer. Not for us, what we want. Selfish desires. Let's not ask amiss to consume on our lusts. No, let's pray for us. Let's intercede and be very, very specific about it. Watch God move. God will encourage your heart with that kind of prayer, because you're praying specifically and He can answer specifically. Heavenly Father,